everyone, welcome to a new episode of In Other Words with Danielle and Zara.
This is a podcast where we talk about a wide variety of different subjects, from contraception to all things Christianity. So, in other words, we talk about all the things.
All the things.
Yay.
Yes, and it is not only a new episode, is it? It is a new season, Danielle.
I know, I can't believe it. It's
season 5.
Yeah, that's a lot of seasons, actually. A lot of shows get cancelled by now, I'm just saying, but not us.
We persevere. Somehow, exactly. Amazing. Okay, so I don't know, do you want to jump right in? Do you have anything to say to the people beforehand? Apart from the fact that we are going to be so consistent this season.
We're going to try. We are. No, we are going to. We're not even going to try. We're going to do it. Yeah.
Yes. Amen. So you will have a new episode every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, not every Tuesday, every second Tuesday.
Yes, exactly. And
amen.
You have to listen on that day, basically. We're going to test you on it.
Yes.
And, oh, we did have a local brand that we wanted to promote.
We do.
So, okay. Yeah, will you tell us about this brand, please?
I shall. Okay. So the small business is called Earth's Laughter, and it's art celebrating the beauty of creation. So it is essentially a friend of ours. Her name's Caitlin Sparks, and she's quite incredible, and she's very, very talented. And she's done is she's taken her love of art and restoration and has kind of mixed that together. So you'll see if you go onto her page on Instagram, it's at earths _laughter_art.
Yes.
You'll see that she is now doing commissions for flowers being painted on different types of wood, etc. And it's very, very pretty, and you should definitely check her out.
100%. Cool.
Okay.
I did actually want to say something. So for everyone listening, I just want to like preface this episode and every episode by saying that we do record online. So sometimes if the episode sounds a bit weird or if there's a bit of weird breaks between things we're saying, it's because of the internet, basically. Yeah, please don't give up on us. We are trying our best. And yeah, also if this episode sounds funny, it's because we can't see each other. But I think it's fun. You're basically listening to a phone call between friends, which I think is so fun cute. Exactly.
Yes. And if there are breaks, it's actually just your part of the conversation where you get to talk.
Exactly. That's actually...
That's why we do it.
No, it's all intentional, guys. Don't worry.
Okay. So today we are going to be doing a personal Q&A because we are just so self-centered.
Mm-hmm. We are.
But no, it's been a long time since we started the podcast, and we thought it'd be nice to start the season with just a little bit about ourselves so you can reacquaint yourself with adults Zara and Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we use SurveyMonkey as we always do.
Indeed.
And you guys submitted questions anonymously that we are now going to answer.
Yes. And if you didn't see this, if you didn't see the survey, it's because you don't follow us on Instagram. So please follow us on Instagram at inotherwords_podcast. And then you can keep up to date with everything that we do. And
all
we often use SurveyMonkey. We really do. And it's a lot of fun to get audience participation. And we appreciate everyone's thoughts and questions and... Yeah, no matter how bizarre some of them are at times, but we appreciate them all.
We do.
Yeah, but I reckon we can just jump straight into it, right?
Yes. Do you want to read the first question?
Great. I'm just going to start at the top and then we can go all the way to the bottom.
Sounds good.
Okay. So the first question, a book you want to read for the first time again? That's exactly how it was phrased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Zara, you answer this first. I need time to think, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost want to say the first book that like made me really love reading, which was The Woods by Harlan Coben.
Yeah.
I remember reading it. I did. And I think I was only 13.
Mm.
And it took me like 2 days. And I just remember that feeling of, oh my gosh, I get why people like love reading as much as they do.
Yeah.
So I think to like experience that feeling and read that book again would be fun.
Yeah. I think that's a good reason to want to reread a book. So the first book, well, it's actually a book series that pops into my mind when I hear this question is the Hunger Games trilogy. The books that
really?
I want to read again. Yeah. Have you read them?
No.
Read them.
I didn't even watch all the movies.
They're actually, like, they are flipping good. And I think when you get older, the more you appreciate them as well because of the, like, the symbolism. And it's, for me, it is the superior dystopian, like, fiction because it is, like, I don't know, you need to read it and I think you'll understand. But they are just written so well. The story is so good. And it's like, it's such an excellent commentary on like our system as a whole. And capitalism and classism and all of that. And yeah, it's just really great. And I think it's also, I'm in my Hunger Games era again because I'm reading The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes at the moment. And by the time this comes out, I should be finished. But I'm very excited to finish that. And also, the movie's coming out at the end of this year. So I'm very excited. But yeah, if you haven't read those books, guys, like I 100% recommend them. Because, yeah, I read The Maze Runner and I read like Divergent and all of them. And like they're fine. But The Hunger Games sticks out as the best of that genre. Yeah.
Yes.
They're really good.
Okay. Well, good job.
Thank you.
Okay, shall I read the next question?
Please do.
Okay, so MBTI personality types. Again, reading it as it was sent.
Guys, we're not making fun of you. It's just funny
not
to read
at
it
all.
Like this.
Okay, so this is the Myers-Briggs personality.
Yeah. Yeah, I have...
thing.
I have done the Myers-Briggs personality, I think, quite a few times. And I always get the same one, which is the INFP. Yeah.
Yes.
I always get that. I can't remember what all of them stand for. I know the I is introvert, N is something, F is feelings, P is something else. Yeah. Google it.
What is mine again?
You had, the last time you did it, you had ENFP. Well, that's the last one I remember.
Yes.
But you said you might have changed
the last
by then.
Time.
Yeah.
Yes. Guys, it's confusing because the one thing that is not strange about me is when I've done the test, I very much don't lean like hectically towards one side of something. So like even the introvert extrovert one, you'd think knowing my personality that I'd like lean hectically towards an E. But it actually like just falls in E. So we actually want to do a full episode where we take a bunch of personality tests and then chat about how accurate they are.
Yeah.
So let us know if you want that. We started one once and then we gave up because we did the test and then they said we had to pay to get the results. And we were like, absurd.
We're done with this. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, what I like about, I mean, if you want to do the Myers-Briggs, I think the 16 personality types, I think that is based on Myers-Briggs.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So that one's fun to do because it has cute pictures as well. And it really does explain like a lot. You don't need to pay. You don't need to pay to get a really good idea of what they actually mean for you. And I'm the same. I mean, except with introverts, like I'm fully an introvert. But with others, some of them are like 60-40 or like 55-45 one way, like either way. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting to see where you land. And, yeah, I like doing it. It's fun.
I should do it again sometime.
Yeah, you should. It would be interesting.
Okay, Danielle.
Next question. Which episode of In Other Words was your favorite to film/record? Oh, this is a really good question.
I found this a really difficult question.
Me too. I have some ideas, but you tell me first.
Okay, so I don't know. I think it's not even so much the content more than just like the feeling.
Yeah, the vibe. So like, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so like recording the first episode was just so cool, yes, because it was the first time we were doing it. And it was like, so what fun. Are we even doing?
Literally.
And then like I think to the second and third episode, we recorded them on your floor in your bedroom.
I was literally going to say the same thing.
And I just loved that. And then like the ones we did in Amanus, which was the drinking.
Death.
The drinking and drugs episode and death and femininity and masculinity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I enjoyed those. Maybe also just because of the vibe. Like Devin was with us still. He still cared about what we were saying back then.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
And you were still living in Cape Town. Sad.
Yes. So I don't know if I have like a favorite one that I recorded, but I enjoyed the spaces of those.
Yes. I was literally going to say the same thing for all of the same reasons. Well, particularly with the first three episodes. Yeah.
Yes.
And then I know another one that I thought was so funny was the Our Virgins Who Talk About Sex one. That was the most hilarious episode
that
to film.
Was fantastic.
And also the ones we recorded in Hilton as well when I came up to you last year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The female health and the ones with Crystal.
Yes. And obviously, yes. I mean, every episode that we do with a guest is wonderful because we don't have to talk so much.
Having guests.
Yeah. And yeah, those were like my favorites. I just distinctly remember laughing so much in Our Virgins Who Talk About Sex episode.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, yay,
yay. Oh, it was so good. But yeah, every episode is so fun. But yeah, others have more like... Yeah, others I really remember recording a lot more.
Yes. Mm. Yes. The one thing that stands out to me as well was the one where we it was the episode we did with Devin, where it was guys asking girls questions.
And that
stands out to me just because I was so bleak that day. I was having such a rough day. And I was like, sorry, just get in the zone. And then it ended up being cool to record, even though I was in such a bad mood.
It's somehow, no matter the mood that we're in, recording, I don't know, it just always feels so fun.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Not that I can remember, I don't think I ever finished recording an episode and I'm like, oh, that sucked, I hated that.
I know, because you're talking to me, obviously.
Exactly, that's what I think.
But I really hope, and I also, like, I feel that way when I listen to podcasts. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what mood I'm in. If I listen to Office Ladies, I'm always, like, happy.
Exactly.
So we hope that the podcast does similar to you, even if sometimes the topics are heavy.
Yeah. But we're jokesters, you know? We are...
Yes.
We like comedians. To bring, we're comedians over here. At least we think so. No, guys, I'm really kidding. Like, we think we are the lamest ever to exist, but we make each other laugh. So
amen.
That's what counts.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll read this and then please will you answer so I can stop talking.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think behavioral/personality disorders exist? Like, why did God allow certain people to be/be born psychopathic, schizophrenic, etc.? Is it demonic influence or really just up to science? Ooh, the big questions.
Indeed. So I think that this is a hard question. This question, like, very much falls in the camp of why do bad things happen to good people, kind of that sphere of questioning when it comes to questioning God, like why God does ... I think that these disorders exist for the same reason that every other disorder exists, and that is simply because of sin. You know, we live in a sinful world, we live in a broken world, and so these things are terrible, but they're kind of just proof that the world does not look the way God intended or created for it to look.
Mm-hmm.
And so us being broken and having to struggle with these disorders. And for those who, I think most of our listeners probably do know that I have bipolar disorder. And there is that question of why, but I also understand that I live in a broken world. I'm a broken person. Mm-hmm. And this isn't how God designed me to be. This was not like, oh, I really want to design something that's broken. I don't think anyone, yeah, any creator of anything, like, you don't start baking a cake hoping that, you know, it'll have too much salt or whatever. So I think it's important to understand that this is not God's design. It is as a result of sin. But then I do think that God allows things in order to teach us something. It's cliche as it sounds, there is always purpose in everything, you know. And for me, I think my condition has just been such a learning curve for me, and I've been able to speak to people who've struggled with similar things. I've kind of gotten to know the character of God more, and I've kind of understood just really what it looks like for his strength to be perfected in weakness. I think it's hard to chat to this idea of it being psychopathic and schizophrenic, because those are far more hectic. You know, someone who's psychopathic, like, cannot feel empathy, and someone who's schizophrenic, like, hallucinations and delirium is like a huge part of that. And so I can't imagine what it would be like to suffer with those things. However, there is hope in the fact that there's treatment for these things. And in terms of, is it demonic influence or is it up to science? I am hard pressed to look at someone who's schizophrenic and say, oh my word, they're possessed by a demon. Like, that's a bit hectic. Like, there's definitely cases where there's some hectic spiritual oppression that is happening, but I don't necessarily think that this falls into that per se. But I think that it's worth noting that all of these things find demonic influences in that they are not of God, you know? And I like when I, because I'm a crime podcast enthusiast. Yes. And so I listen to a lot of crime podcasts, and there are just certain things that I hear and I'm like, this is far beyond just a medical condition. Like, there is dodgy stuff happening. I listened to a podcast on these twin sisters. I think it was Jennifer and Julia, or I don't know, January and Julia, or June and January. I don't know.
J names. But
yes, J names. And like, from like young, their demeanor and their attitude, and they would only talk to each other, not like speak a word to another human being. And I hear certain things and I'm like, that sounds like there's something like spiritually happening that's deeper. But for the most part, I think it's like any illness. It's the same as asking, like, why do people get cancer? It's a really difficult question to address. But I think it speaks to the brokenness of the world. But God is good and God uses things. So that is my long-winded answer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have like an answer for that. All I can say, like, I like 100% get where the question comes from, because I have the question, like the same questions myself, you know. Like, some things are easier to understand, like, because even like some diseases or some like mental illnesses, for example, like, you can just easily go and get a diagnosis, and like, the only thing it affects is like yourself, as like horrible as that is still. Whereas someone with who's a psychopath, a sociopath, like, or even let's say a narcissist, like on a slightly smaller level, like, those people hurt other people, and a lot of them like don't understand, or like don't know what they're doing is wrong. Like, they cannot grasp that. And by the way, like, I think this is a really, really difficult thing to deal with. To be diagnosed with an illness like that is extremely tough, and the world is not made for people like them. And I don't think I don't know. I think it's difficult to treat those things as well. So, like, I 100% get it. But yeah, I do agree with everything that you said. But yeah, we all have those kinds of questions. I think no matter how long you're a Christian for, you're always going to have questions like that. We're never going to understand that.
Sure.
But yeah, that's all I have to say.
The more you know of God, the more you can be at peace with it. But it doesn't ever mean that those questions go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, on a far lighter note.
Yes.
What's your favorite Hamilton song?
Ooh.
I love that we're still talking about Hamilton years later.
Me too. It'll never stop.
No.
The obsession never ends.
Nope.
Yes. So if you don't know, we do have a whole episode on Hamilton.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so our second episode.
Indeed.
Ever.
Exactly. So way back when. And it's a really fun one and you should go listen to that. But, let me think. The song that I listen to the most now from Hamilton, it's probably Washington on Your Side, if I'm not going to lie. Like, it's not my favorite one, but I listen to it the most because I like
the harmonies are fun.
Exactly. Like, it's just a fun song to sing along to. But yes. I also love Wait For It. And I love Nonstop and also Satisfied. Yeah.
Yes.
What about
you? Mine is Nonstop. Mm. I think because of the fact that it is the song where you get a taste of as many parts of the musical as possible.
So fun. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the end of the first act. And so it's kind of like, yeah, it's recapping plus foretelling. And all of the melody lines that you'll hear come up again and stuff are all present. You have like Philippa Sue singing so beautifully, but then you also have like your rap and yeah, it's just a nice combination of everything the musical has to offer. So that's my favorite. I will say it's hilarious to me because Sean only has one Hamilton song saved on his phone.
Oh really?
And it's Quiet Uptown.
Why that one?
What do you think that says about his personality?
No, that's
Shay?
So sad.
It is. It's a sad one. He's like, the melody line is just so pretty.
It is.
But y'all, that's really funny.
That's
I love
so
it.
Funny. Oh my gosh. Okay. Favorite memory with each other?
So this got me thinking a lot. I felt like this is a difficult question.
I also think so. I think, you go first. I'll try to collect my thoughts.
So I think when I thought about it, there were three that like immediately came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So when we used to walk and study our history essays together.
That was a good time.
Are just like,
I miss those days actually.
Gosh. My favorite, I know, when you just had to memorize something and not have to write it yourself.
Oh, the best.
Those are the days.
The best.
So for those who don't know what we're talking about, we both took history and we learn and study our history essays and then we go for like a walk to the dam and like recite the essays together.
Yeah.
And that was just really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then another memory is Hermanus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love going away with your fam and Devon, who is almost your fam. I don't know, those trips have always just like meant a lot to me because you guys are like my second family. And then another like more recent memory was just when we listened to Harry's House for the first time.
Yes. That was great.
So Danielle was here in Hilton and the power was out simply because that's what happens in Hilton. And Harry Styles' new album had just come out. And so we started a Spotify listening party. We both put on our headphones and we just listened through the album in the dark. And it was just such a... like a movie moment.
It really was, actually.
So those are like just some of my favorites, but actually they're all my favorite.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, those were really good ones that you brought up. I was just thinking of all the times when we were still in high school, when we would sing together. Like when we sang Love Me Like You Do at one of the school assemblies.
And we felt so bad. We're like, we're singing such a sinful song. Yeah,
but we didn't care. We just did it. And that was really fun. And when we also, we had that like whole singing group back in like grade 10 for that one Mr. and Miss FHS.
Yes.
I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
Your mom still made us a Valentine's Day cake.
Yes. Oh, that was so sweet. Yeah.
Yes. And shout out to Janie, number one fan.
And I also loved it when we both started getting obsessed with Hamilton. Like,
oh my gosh.
I don't know. And that was literally all we would talk to each other about for a time. Like, truly. We just send each other Hamilton things all the
and
time.
And we'd sing, and someone would say something in church that was a Hamilton lyric, and we just like look at each other. Best ever.
Yeah. Those were, I mean, like, obviously, all the things that you said were also my favorite memories. And like also just deciding to start the podcast. It's really sweet.
I know, these have been really, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we have, we do have lots of good memories though, I think.
We do. Danielle's really nice, guys. I'm sorry she can't be your bestie because she's mine.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, and lots of memories to come as well. Lots of good memories.
Yay!
Good times.
You're getting married. So exciting.
Even me. I'm very excited.
Let's just finish this thesis now. Anyways, let's not talk about
that. Thank you. Let's not. It's going to happen though. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen.
I'm not. I'm not worried.
I'm talking to myself.
Okay. Whose turn is it to read? Mine.
Yes.
Okay. So this one is 5 questions. So I rate we just kind of rapid fire it.
Okay.
Let's try. 1. What makes your podcast unique? Us.
It's pretty obvious.
No, I don't think it's like it's particularly unique. But I think what's maybe different about it is, first of all, it's South African and there aren't a lot of South African podcasts like this one.
Yeah.
And then also just, I don't know if there's a podcast that talks about mental health as well as Netflix recommendations.
Yeah,
as well
we're
as
not
virgins.
Yeah, we're not very niche.
So it's very broad.
Some people say that's a problem. They say you need to find your niche when you podcast, but I'm like, who cares? We just talk about what we want to talk about.
Niche?
I don't know. I don't know niche. I don't know her.
Okay, 2. Tell us your best joke. Oh, flip. I didn't prep this.
I didn't either. I even thought I should, but I didn't.
I also said, Zara, you should prepare for this, and then I did not. Probably my face.
Yeah, that is a really good joke. My life. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, wait. I'm going to think, but we can answer the rest of the questions of this one in the meantime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do the joke right at the end.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Okay. What is your SO, significant other, do that triggers you?
Ooh.
Sean leaves cupboards open.
Oh, that is, you hate that. Does he leave lights on?
I can't. He does.
Oh, no, Zara. That's going to, shame. That's going to be,
a problem one day.
That's going to be a problem.
We will
live
together.
No.
That's probably the biggest trigger.
Yes. I'm trying to think with Devin. Oh, okay. We spoke about this the other day. I hate it when he calls me a strong independent woman, unironically. I hate that. I don't know why. It just triggers me. I'm like, why are you saying that? Like, I'm just doing what I do. Okay, another
That's
one.
Fantastic.
Another one. This is not really a trigger, but if I'm in the wrong mood, then it really does trigger me. So because of the way Devin's brain works, he's got ADHD, he vocalizes a lot of what he's thinking, like a lot of the time. And so like just for example, even when we were going through wedding venues, like when we were viewing venues, then the whole time, like we'd just be walking through and he'd just be like saying all these things. And I'm like, Devin, this mean, that's mean. You can't say those things. often actually I very easily ignore it or I don't really care about it because that's just how he processes a lot of things. But when I'm not in the mood for it, all I feel is like he's criticizing something the whole time and I'm like, stop.
Yes.
Even though he's not really doing that, you know? It's
no, he's just like thinking out loud.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And also, this is a trigger with anyone, though, is when people... This is something he doesn't do. I don't think he does it so much anymore because I complain about it. But I hate it when people, like, after they brush their teeth, they don't, like, wipe their mouth first and they wipe it on the towel. So you just have, like, toothpaste on the towel. That is a huge trigger for me. I hate that.
Wow. Living together is going to be so fun for you guys.
But I don't think he does. I don't think he does that so much anymore. But we'll see. I will be complaining, though. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a fair thing to complain about.
Thank you.
Especially if it's a hand towel. Not. If you're going to do that on the towel that you're going to shower with. Like your own towel. Yeah, don't do it on a hand towel. I agree.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the validation.
Okay, four. Who is your favorite person in the Bible?
Jesus. Next question.
Yes, Jesus. But I like... I just am a huge, like, fan of Mary, Jesus' mother, just because of the fact that, like, she was 14 and the Lord was like, you're going to have a baby, but you're not going to have sex and you're going to have to deal with all of that. Hectic.
Quite tough.
She's a champ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, five. What is the most exciting thing about becoming a wife for Danielle?
Submission. No, I'm kidding. I joke. Honestly, like, I don't know. It's really just exciting, the prospect of, like, Devin and I living together, because obviously we had not done that before. So, yeah it's just exciting to start a proper life together. And, yeah, that's really the main thing, to be honest.
Yes.
And just, yeah. To just be together. That's fun.
That is fun.
Yeah.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
You get to bug him all the time.
All the time. Not
just some of the time.
Exactly. Fantastic. Can't wait. Have you thought of a joke yet? No, we can leave that for the end of the episode.
Yes. Okay, Danielle. Next question.
Okay. How do I know he's the one?
He's not.
Yeah. Jesus is the one.
Amen. So okay. We've spoken about this.
Yeah.
In fact, in our first episode, didn't we?
I can't remember.
Episode number one. I think the question was, do you believe in soulmates?
Yeah.
And I think we might have spoken about it. So we don't have to go too in depth, but Danielle.
Okay.
Take us away.
So I think, okay, first of all, like, I don't believe in the concept of soulmates or that there's only, like, one person out there for everyone. I think whoever you choose... Like, that's the love of your life, you know? Like, you choose...
Yep.
Obviously, like, there's attraction, there's compatibility, but you're going to choose, like, that person. But how do you know if that person's right for you? Well, I think one of the main things is you'd have to have a lot of peace about the relationship. So, what I'm not saying, like, you can never have, like, relationship anxiety. Like, if you're thinking about spending your whole life with a person, there's bound to be, like, some anxiety. Or, like, what... like. You don't know what's going to happen in the future, you know? Like, obviously, you have to think through a lot of things. I'm not saying it's always going to be like, okay, yeah, he's the one for sure. But if you have more anxiety than peace about it, he's probably not the one. Just going to put that out there. Secondly, you have to be attracted to this person. Not just sexually, like, in all ways, you have to be attracted to them. Because... Yes. Like, it is an important part of a relationship, like physical attraction, but also you have to be attracted to their personality. For some reason, a lot of people, for some reason, get together with people who they don't even like, who they're not even attracted to. And I'm like, why are you doing that to yourself? Or, like, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. So that's important. Number three, you have to have, in my opinion, similar values and morals. So what's important to you should also be important with your partner. Otherwise, it's just going to be like, very difficult.
He is the one, unfortunately, like, he's an atheist and I'm a Christian, but, like, he's the one, so we have to make it work.
You don't have to
make anything work unless you're married, because then I recommend working on things.
Exactly. And then another one is, and this is sort of similar to the fifth one, I mean, to the first one, but the fifth one, like, if you're crying a lot about this person, they're just not going to be the one for you. Like, I don't know. A lot of people just sort of stay in these very miserable relationships because they love this person. But like, yeah, there's this saying, it's like you're dating a human being, you're not dating an onion. If that person is making you cry a lot, and this like this feels like this seems like such
I've
an obvious
that
thing.
I've seen on Instagram.
Yeah. Like it seems like such an obvious thing, but I don't know, a lot of people just stay for the sake of staying. And like, yeah, you don't need to just obviously, I think commitment is great, by the way, but if you're always miserable, like you have to, the relationship has to be more joyful than anything else, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, yeah, through everything, there's going to be difficult times in a relationship, but the highs have to outweigh the lows, like by far, in my opinion. Yeah, that's what I can think of at the moment. What do you think, Zara?
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and I think, yeah, just don't put too much pressure on yourself to find the one or to be with someone and know off the bat that they're the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Like, you're not going to know that necessarily.
I'm skeptical. Like, I recently heard someone say, like, oh, this is definitely my person. And they haven't known that person long at all. And maybe it's just my personality. But, like, I mean, gosh, it took Sean and I, like, years before we decided to date. So maybe yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask. But I don't know. For me, it comes down to a choice.
Mm.
Like, you choose that person and you continue choosing them. And understand that the one isn't some mystical perfect human that's out there that God created specifically just for you.
Exactly.
Like, no, he created people for his glory and for them to live out their life and calling well. And if you're lucky enough, you'll find someone who things just align with.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think find your best friend. If it's your bestie, then that's probably a good start.
I 100% agree. Cool.
Fantastic.
Next question. Okay, your turn
what
to read,
your
I think.
What are views on sex before marriage? I don't know. Have you listened to this podcast for four seasons?
Yeah, we're not going to tell you now. So go and listen to an episode and find out. Our third episode will tell you exactly.
Oh my gosh, no, we've spoken about this
so many times.
Much, guys, so we're not going to go into it too much. Go and listen to our episode on that's called Virgins Who Talk About Sex.
Yes.
Our,
or even Let's Talk About Sex, Baby.
Yes. Amen. But yeah, both of us are waiting for marriage. However, Danielle, in response to this question, I thought that I would tell you a story that I've been
Please.
Waiting to tell you on the podcast because
well,
it
wonderful.
Just grinded my gears.
Okay, I'm ready.
And I did receive permission from my boyfriend to share the story.
Okay.
So he, I don't know, I get the vibe that his work environment is a little bit, there's some toxic masculinity vibes there.
I know.
Anyway, so he has a colleague who, he's not a Christian. In fact, he's very much not a Christian.
Okay.
In that he's like, yeah, he's anti. And he told Sean, like, he often makes like sexual comments or whatever, and he knows that Sean comes to visit me every weekend. And like the one day he said to Sean, he's like, oh, so you're excited to see your lady this weekend for all the things, you know, like asserting the fact that we're gonna have sex. And he knows because Sean has told him we're not having sex.
Yeah.
And then he asked Sean about it again. And he, Sean is like, no, I promise you we're not having sex. And he's like, yeah, well, no one believes that. I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. But like, yeah. And he's explained why.
Yeah.
It's just like, we are Christian. That's our decision. And then Sean shows up to work and he's like, oh, you look happy. Did you get lucky this weekend?
Oh my gosh.
No, wait for it. He bought Sean condoms.
That's so inappropriate for like a work relationship.
And I also
like,
just think
sorry.
It's, I don't know, it is a little bit disrespectful.
Disrespectful. It is.
Just
I agree.
Like, if it was anything else where someone said, this is a personal religious decision, the minute you use that word, it's like, you know, I almost
yeah, you
think
respect
it's
it.
Like, yeah, I'm like, Sean, you should just buy him a Bible and say, oh, I bought this just for you.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, I just think that's bizarre.
It is. But it also, I don't know, some
I
people are weirdly invested
more pressure in people's sexual relationships.
Yes.
It's weird.
weird. It's so weird. But I also think, like, I mean, just from, if I compare how Devin and, like, how Devin and I are treated, like, Devin gets a lot more flack for that than I do, for example. Like, if people ask, oh, why? I'm like, well, Christian, but also, like, I just want to have, like, save it for, like, one person my whole life. That's what I want.
Yes.
And people are like, cool. Sounds good. With Devin, though, like, he gets comments. It's just so inappropriate. Thing, eh? It's no one's business, actually. I mean, we're talking about it, but actually, we're choosing to talk about it. But it's actually no one's business what we do in our own private lives. And, like, we're disclosing this because it is something we talk about on the podcast. But, like, you actually, I don't know. I'm like, it's weird for people to ask at all. I don't know. It's weird.
I will ask, like, if it's someone close to me, but it's not like, I don't know. It's weird.
Not in a weird way.
Yes. Just, yes. It's weird because, like, I think people think that Christians judge people who are having sex before marriage, but I low-key feel like it's the same the other way around sometimes.
It is, absolutely.
If you're a guy, I don't feel like I get much.
No.
But, like, as a guy, it's like, oh, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%.
So, yes, okay. I'll tell you that little story.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's super, super weird. I'm sorry.
Dodgy.
Anyway, next question. Okay. Are you genuinely happy right now? Deep.
That was hectic.
Yeah. So hectic. Okay. Genuinely happy? Yes. But I am also upset because I'm sick at the moment. But I will be better by the time you guys listen to this episode. So don't be concerned. And I'm also not thrilled about having to write a thesis. But I keep reminding myself that it's almost over and I chose this for myself. So I must just I must just do it. But I am genuinely happy. Like, overall, I'm happy, you know?
I'm glad.
What about you, Zara?
Well, I'm sad because you're in Cape Town and I'm far away from you.
I'm also sad about that.
No, I am happy. And I think I've said this in a podcast before, is I try not to put too much pressure on myself, because happiness isn't, I think I've said this before, it's a quote, that happiness is a mood, not a destination. Because I think if you're constantly trying to do things in order to be happy, like, you'll never actually really reach that. Whereas being happy is the same as being tired or hungry or, you know, it's a mood. And so when it comes, let it in, you know. So today, yes, I am happy.
Good.
I think it's weird. It's been a difficult season for me personally, just with a lot of stuff happening. But I'm happy today. It is good. A good day.
I'm glad. It is a good day. That's what I'm trying to tell myself every day when I wake up. Like, it's a good day. Because it's all about the mindset.
I can send you pictures of my face every day if you want.
Thank you. That will be such an improvement to my day. 100%.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, so pause. Before I carry on reading these questions, I would like you to please think of one friend that you want to share this podcast with and share it with them. Thank you.
Do it now. Do it.
Right now. Okay, so best moments so far of 2023, and what's the one thing you're looking most forward to for the next bit of 2023?
Sure. I have a lot of moments, actually.
Well, you had such a cool year.
I've had a good year so far, not going to lie. Well, I'll talk about myself first. okay, so I'd say there's the top three moments so far in my year. The first one is, okay, well, let's say in order of most exciting. The first one is obviously I got engaged, which is very exciting. And follow me to see pictures, I suppose. But I'll see if you're cool enough to follow me. I'll see if I accept you. But that's very exciting. It wasn't a big surprise because I knew it was going to happen, but I was thrilled nonetheless, and I'm very excited to have a very nice piece of jewelry. And
it's beautiful.
It is. Devin did a very good job, not going to lie.
He did.
He did. And then the other two moments are, going overseas twice this year, which like is insane to me. I'm very, very grateful. Obviously, I was like definitely a privilege. Yes. The first one, like went to Italy at the beginning of the year for like a winter school, which was a nice opportunity. And the second one, we just basically just came back from a family holiday in Europe. We went to Paris, then to Switzerland, and then to Italy on the Cinque Terre coast, and it was beautiful.
So beautiful, and
it was very nice.
Unfair and unacceptable, and I think your parents are like, "This is our last holiday."
My mom literally kept saying Caleb that, so I'm like,
"I
will."
And Danielle is getting married, and I think your mom is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And then the one thing I'm looking most forward to is my wedding. Probably it's the one thing keeping me going. The planning is a lot of fun. It's consumed a lot of my mind, to be honest. Like every time that I start doing something, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to think of that. But we've got all the big stuff down.
There was a stage where we were talking about weddings nonstop in the beginning.
It's literally all I could think about, but and I am obviously looking forward to handing in my thesis, but I still need to put in the work to finish that. But yeah, that's my year. What about you, Zara?
Well, I just wrote down two things here. My favorite part of this year has been Sean moving to KZN.
Yes, definitely.
It's been a game changer for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'm most looking forward to is Danielle's wedding. Yes, I'm the third most excited person.
Yes, I think so.
Maybe Janie's tied with me, maybe.
Maybe, but I think it's like bittersweet for her.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's then she'll be the only lady in the house, apart from Peggy.
Peggy, she got Peggy.
Yeah.
Okay,
next question. Can I be both a feminist and a Christian?
No.
Sorry. Just joking. Yes, you can. I'm pretty sure we talk about this in our feminist episode, do we not?
Yes. So, yes, there's an episode we did on feminism, so please go and listen to that. We won't go too in-depth with that now.
Yes.
But yes, the short answer is yes. I don't know if you have...
If I go into the whole thing now, I will never stop talking.
I'll talk a little bit about this idea of being a Christian and ... when we answer our last question. But the short answer is yes. And I think you could be Christian and feminist if you understand feminism as a concept.
Mm.
And not that, like, you know, feminism as a concept is equality.
Mm-hmm.
In light of the fact that women have been oppressed and seen as inferior in the past. So if you support equality...
And still now, in many countries. Mm-hmm.
If you support equality and you're a Christian, you're probably on good footing.
Yeah.
Also, like, biblical examples. Like, I think people ask that because of the way the Bible was written. But just remember, the Bible was written in a patriarchal society and era. Mm-hmm. And get biblical examples of incredible women, and the best is just looking at how Jesus interacted with women.
Yeah.
And the fact that the first evangelist was the woman at the well that Jesus had preached to, the first people to see the empty tomb that shared it with the disciples who we know by name were women. The oldest piece of scripture ever written was Deborah's poem in the book of Judges. She was the first woman to put pen to paper. Well, it wasn't an actual pen and paper. It was the other writing equipment.
Yes.
And she was a woman.
Slay. Honestly, what a girl boss.
God loves women. The end. He created Adam and was like, oof, this guy could do with some improving. And then they came Eve. Just kidding. Okay, next question.
Okay. I think it's your turn to read.
Yes. How has Jesus impacted your mental health journey?
Ooh. Okay. I think, I don't
know. Again?
Yeah.
We've spoken about this before.
Yes. In our probably a Christian episode. I don't know. We have lots of episodes, guys.
We did it on our episode on Christianity. And then also I spoke about it in our mental health, the third addition to our mental health series, but we did 3 episodes specifically on mental health. And I think yeah. I'm pretty sure I spoke about Jesus in all of them.
100% you did. Yeah. Yeah, I think more recently, like obviously peace is a huge thing for me. But another yeah. thing is like when I read the Gospels in particular, and like actually reading Jesus's words, I always just get reminded of how simple things actually need to be. And that's actually yeah. like a really good reminder for my mental health, because I really do get despondent with a lot of things, like the way people complicate Christianity. And I'm like, I don't know if I resonate with that. And then you go and read the Gospels and you're like, yes, I very much do resonate Jesus. With this. Yeah. Yes. Love Jesus. Yeah, yeah. That's like one thing that's stuck out to me more recently in my life for sure.
Yeah, I love that. I think, yeah, for me, it's just like my faith has been fundamental to my mental health. But I also think specifically the person of Jesus, like he kind of helped me accept the fact that like this was just what I was going to struggle with. And like there's this place in the gospel where it speaks about Jesus, someone coming to Jesus for healing, and he says, "Do you want to be made well?" And like I constantly have just been hanging on to that idea of I want to be better. I want to feel better. And like God knows that and God hears that. But there's also suffering. And the picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane has always just been a very powerful picture for me. And I think the Lord's just given me so much comfort and just helped me understand why things are the way they are. And... yeah, ugh, I just love the Lord, and I can't imagine having dealt with anything I've dealt with without him. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good answer.
Yes. Okay, next question.
Is it my turn to read?
I
can never remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? Go listen to our other episode, our other Q&A episode. So I don't have any more advice.
Yeah, we did this specific question in a Q&A. It was episode 11 of season 4. I went and checked so I could tell you guys. And there, I think my lessons had a lot to do with like rejection and dealing with emotions and finding Jesus earlier and stuff. But there's one lesson that I will quickly speak about, because it's advice that I've been given before, and I needed to be reminded of it so much during this current season in my life.
Yeah.
And that is specifically for someone in ministry. And my lecturer told me this for 2 years in a row in seminary. And it's, to be in ministry, you have to have the softest heart and the thickest skin. And I have learned this.
Yeah, that's a good advice for you.
And I've had to cling to this. In this last season, is just remain soft, don't harden your heart to things and to people and to what the Lord wants to do. But you have to have a thick skin, because when you are in Christian leadership, people are going to come at you hard, and people are sensitive and messy. And so, yeah, you just have to keep your heart soft and keep your thick skin. Your thick skin. Keep
your skin
thick.
Yes. Yeah, that's really good advice.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're on our last 2 questions, guys.
Yes, woo! We're doing so well, actually.
We are doing so well. Okay, so why?
Why?
Why do you do the podcast personally for each of you, and big picture? What's the long-term goal?
To be this feels like an interview, right? Gosh.
Yes.
And yes, we want to get paid. So
yes.
And never do 100%. Any normal work ever again.
Yes. So just, you can Venmo, EFT,
whatever.
What else do people do?
SnapScan. I don't know how we'll do that though. But you can do that once we...
send you whatever you need for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so why do we do the podcast, Danielle? What's the future?
Okay, I do the podcast because I like to talk to you. It is one of the ways that we like consistently stay up to date with one another. We talk over WhatsApp literally all the time, but I mean, discussing the deeper subjects, this is where we do the work, you know?
Yes.
It's also one of the main reasons that we started, and I know like one of the reasons I wanted to start it was so that we could get people talking about subjects that maybe they didn't discuss before.
Yes.
And we like to talk about so many different things, as I've said.
All the things.
And obviously, like, we just have to add to the discourse. We just have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, long-term goal. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even necessarily say for me it's to get a lot of followers. Obviously, it would be cool to gain popularity. But it's, like, you have to put in a lot of work for that. And we're both busy with things. So I don't know realistically if that's going to happen. Yeah. Well, at this current stage in our lives, at least. But
when
it's also
we can be stay-at-home wives, then maybe.
Yeah. But it's also just to carry on talking about important topics as well as less important topics, and just to get people talking, start conversations, and also to provide like entertainment to people, and that's that.
Yeah, what do you think? I think for me, like, I'm just super passionate about it. Because I get to do it with you. And it keeps me on my toes, keeps me thinking.
Literally.
And I love the fact that we can have super important conversations and then we can have super dumb day-to-day conversations. And as a person who listens to podcasts, I enjoy that. And so that's fun. And like, are we the best podcast ever? No, but I like the fact that we are South Africans and it's, it's not as big of a market here. And so we can kind of just add our voice.
Yeah.
And I love when I listen to a podcast and I feel like I know the hosts and I'm just having a conversation with them. And so like, I hope that we get to do that for our audience.
Yeah. Same.
And look, like, we're never going to be a big podcast simply because we don't have a niche topic. The only way a podcast like ours works is if it's already like celebrities who have a following that choose to speak on random things. Yeah. And to be honest, a lot of what we say, I feel like, is better than what they say.
I also think so.
Some stuff that I've listened to.
I think
we do
a lot of research in comparison to a lot of the big podcasts. Like, I don't know, some of them you can't... I like to listen to like stupid podcasts as well. Like also, not stupid, but like not, I don't always listen to educational things. In fact, I love to listen to people just talking. But I'm like, I would never say some of the things that people say without doing any sort of research. I would never say that. That's terrifying.
Are we the best? No. And because we're not niche, we'll never be like top of the charts kind of thing. But I love it. And I think the one thing that has been my goal is we are not a Christian podcast, but we're Christians. And so my hope has always been that to non-Christians, people will see that Christians aren't awful and close-minded.
Yeah.
And just completely out of their mind. But then for Christians as well, they'd be a little bit more open-minded about thinking about things. I've always hoped to just kind of be a light for the Lord for both sides.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, and I think we're going to keep it going for honestly as long as we can. As long as we have at least Janie Marie listening, I don't imagine we're stopping.
Yeah, that would be too heartbreaking.
Yes. Okay, last question.
Okay, can you be a practicing LGBTQ+ member and be a true Christian?
Okay. So
you start.
Of course we got this question. So we did speak a little bit about this in our episode called When Christianity Becomes Dangerous with Keith Westberg.
Yes.
I think we are hesitant to talk too in-depth about this. For obvious reasons. And I think I'm a pastor and I'm going to get in trouble either way. And Danielle is also going into the working world and she'll get in trouble either way. So I will say, please contact us, because I've often found that what I have to say disappoints both sides very often. So contact us if you want like an in-depth answer. What I will say is, number one, if... like being gay or homosexuality specifically, let's not even look at gender right now, it is not a unique sin in the Bible. And I think that's the biggest issue surrounding this topic is that so many people put this on a platform. Mm. So if you're going to ask, can I be a gay and a Christian? Well, I don't know. Can you lie and be a Christian? You know, can you steal and be a Christian? Like, that's a silly question to ask. And yet so many people ask it because of the fact that a spotlight is shone on this more hectically than in anything else. But something that you said, Danielle, that I think is phenomenal, and I now use it every time I have this conversation, is being straight is not a prerequisite to being a Christian. The so only true. Quote-unquote qualifications of being a Christian is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came, that he died for us, and that God raised him from the dead?
Mm.
And if you believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's ever a, can I be a true Christian if... dot, yeah. dot, dot. There Absolutely. Is no other prerequisite apart from belief and confession. Mm. But yeah, I think that answers... So the question wasn't, is it okay or what does the Bible say? So I won't get into that now. But just understand that you are a Christian if you have a genuine personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is what's fundamental, and everything else is so very secondary to that.
Have you thought of a joke yet?
That was our last... Oh, shoot. No, wait.
Okay, I'll tell you what I thought of. This is not okay, a good... This is not my favorite joke or a good joke. It's just the joke that I thought of, and it's super lame, and it's not good. But
I'm ready for it.
What do you call a fish with no eye?
I don't know. Tell me.
Fish.
What?
Fish. Fish.
Wow. I because you said that, I thought of one similar, and it was what do you call David without, if he doesn't have his ID? Dav.
Oh my gosh.
No, so. there's also some fantastic biblical jokes that I simply cannot think of right now.
I know. You know, I've seen really good ones on Instagram. A lot of them are videos, this? Though.
Anyway, yes, it's true.
Sorry, carry on.
I will start the next episode with a joke.
Okay. I don't even know. I can't even promise to hold you to that because I probably won't remember.
I
write it down.
Write a note in my journal. My good idea. Podcast journal.
Good idea.
Okay. Well, guys, it's been real. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
To, in other words, season 5. And mm-hmm. we will see you in 2 weeks' time. We hope.
Woohoo. Yeah. No, we will. For sure. We won't yes. see you.
And remember.
You won't see us, but.
You'll hear us. Guys, sharing is caring.
So, in other words.
Share this with every single one of your friends.
Mm-hmm. And acquaintances. And enemies.
And, yes. And the unborn baby of your neighbor.
Yes.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.